You'll never guess or believe what reality show it was that Caroline and I got hooked on several years ago. You know reality shows? No. There are a lot of reality shows that have been around for several years now. Actually, when I thought about when this was that we watched this, I realized just how long it's been. But it wasn't Dancing with the Stars. It wasn't American Idol, although we kind of got hooked on that since. We watched that a lot. It wasn't, what's that? It wasn't even Duck Dynasty, which we also like to watch now. And it wasn't Survivor, which I think kind of started a lot of it all. It wasn't any of those. No, the one we got hooked on was much more prestigious than all the rest of those. It was so big that I think it lasted one season. It was Celebrity Bull Riding. You guys saw that one, didn't you? Celebrity Bull Riding. And you guys saw that, right? Who saw some episodes of Celebrity Bull Riding? It was on CMT, Country Music Network, and we originally started... I heard I'm in there somewhere. I don't see me, though. So look, there I am, the good-looking guy in the back. That's like a John Wayne hat that he's got on. I always thought I was kind of like the Duke. We originally started watching Celebrity Bull Riding because we saw that Stephen Baldwin was going to be on there. And if you don't know, several years ago, Stephen Baldwin gave his life to Christ. He became a Christian. And we're like, well, we kind of want to see how he behaves himself on this show. He was on a couple different kind of shows like this during that time. And I really think it was for two purposes. I think one reason was I think he wanted to be a witness for Christ in those settings. I really do. I think the other is once he came to Christ, I think he was kind of marked in Hollywood. And he couldn't find a job acting. And it was a way to make some money. Whatever the reason, it got our attention. And we started watching Celebrity Bull Riding. And the very first episode, Stephen Baldwin was out. He fell off of a bull. He got stepped on and he broke his arm. It was the first break that he'd ever had in his life, he said. He says, after all this time, I fell off a bull and I break my arm. But by that point, after one show in the season, we were hooked and we kept watching. And here's one of the things that I noticed about Celebrity Bull Riding. Those who were the celebrities there that were competing, who had been or were currently athletes, had the most motivation of all the people there. They had kind of this motocross person. They had an ex-NFL football player. They had some sort of pro kickboxer or pro fighter of some kind of kind who was there. And then, get this, they had Nitro from American Gladiators. Anybody remember American Gladiators? Nitro was there. He riding bulls. It was pretty. See, now you wish you saw it. It was an awesome show. But those who had some sort of athletic background, that were trained, that had worked for some sort of abilities to compete, those athletes just had this motivation, this stamina, this devotion that the others competing didn't have. I mean, they wanted to make the full 8 seconds ride to qualify on those bulls. I mean, Stephen Baldwin, we know he fell off and got his arm broke. Actor Francisco Quinn, he also got knocked off and got stepped on, had his ribs broke. Several others were beat up and banged up. That's probably why the show lasted a season. Then there was Vanilla Ice, you know, Ice, Ice Baby, you know. Vanilla Ice and Leif Garrett, two ex-musicians, and I use that term lightly, who I'm pretty sure were just there to make a buck. But Leif Garrett, he saw the size of the bulls and what was going to happen, and after a few workouts, never stepped in a bull, he quit the show. Vanilla Ice, he stuck with it through the end, but the whole time he's looking for the weakest, the wimpiest bull he can ride. He's always looking for the least qualified, but not the athletes. The athletes, they were looking for the toughest bull, the hardest ride, the most competition, and they were going to stick through it to the end for a competitive ride. Now, here's what I've learned about athletes over the years. That kind of devotion seems to be true of the really serious ones. They have this relentless devotion to win the game, to win the competition that they're a part of. Well, friends, we're near the end of this The Time Is Now campaign. This is our second of two commitment Sundays, and this, friends, is the time for our devotion. This is the time for devotion. The finish line is ahead of us, and it's time for now for us to persevere. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I can't think of a better place to talk about devotion in the church than looking at the church as it began in Acts chapter 2. So that's what we're going to do in our time. And as we prepare to do that, let's go to God. Let's ask God to speak to us today. Dear God, I just am feeling a great passion from you today for this message and for the devotion of our hearts. And not because of a building, but because of you, what you want to do in us, individually and as a church. I'm feeling so motivated by looking at the early church and their devotion, their commitment to you, that I realize there is so much you have in store for us. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited to watch what you're going to do in us. So God, move in us in your heart of devotion to speak to us about our devotion. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's take a look at the beginning church as it's found in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Many of you have heard this before. You've read this before. It was a banner on our wall for a while. As we look at that this morning, I want you to get a sense of the devotion of the church, how the church began, and realize that what we have in building a building is like having a fresh start. And if we're going to have a fresh start, we want to start it the way they started. We want to live like they did in the beginning church. So let's look at that devotion. You can follow along with me as I read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Everyone living together. Everyone having everything in common, sharing all their resources. Friends, that sounds like a reality show worth watching, doesn't it? That's a Survivor, the church edition. That's what that is. And it was reality. It was the reality of the beginning church. Let's spend some time taking that apart, looking at the levels of devotion that it shows. It brings to us four levels of devotion. The first is this: they were devoted to learning. Devoted to learning. The first thing this passage shows is the beginning church had a devotion to learn. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Let's say that once. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I got to tell you that by the time that I graduated from seminary, my devotion to learning was starting to wane just a little bit. I was so ready to be done with school. I went to Asbury Theological Seminary, which I believe is one of the greatest seminaries in the world. I'm not just saying that because I went there. I really believe that it is. But Asbury Theological Seminary requires 96 credit hours for your Master of Divinity degree. A lot of other seminaries require 72. My sister-in-law, who got her master's in education, required 32 credit hours. So it was a lot of schooling. And by the time I was done, I was ready to be done. And I know several other friends of mine who are pastors who've gone on back to seminary to get their doctor's in ministry degree. And I've got to tell you that God's going to put some pretty big writing on the wall for me if he wants me to step back into the classroom in that way. I'm just not ready to do that again. But what this passage is talking about today is different than the teaching that we think of with academia. Now, not that academia is a bad thing. It's a very good thing. It can be a good thing, and it actually can be a bad thing as well. But that's just not what they're talking about here. The followers of Jesus didn't go and register for seminary. Some of the seminaries are like cemetery. They really are. But that's not what they did. Teaching was largely an oral tradition in this time. And when it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, it literally means that the apostles were there with them teaching them. Isn't that awesome? The apostles who had come fresh off of the trail with Jesus. They'd just been with Jesus for 3 years in ministry. This is fresh teaching. Sitting with them, teaching them. Can you only imagine sitting, hearing there, right from the mouths of people who live with Jesus? That would be incredible. They were there teaching them about Jesus, teaching them about how the scriptures were fulfilled through Jesus, all the different prophecies that they'd been taught about all these years. They were hearing about it from the apostles, telling them how to live as Christians and how to live as the church. And friends, these people were devoted to this learning. William Barclay says in his commentary, he said, "We should count it a wasted day when we do not learn something new, and when we have not been penetrated more deeply into the wisdom of the grace of God." Isn't that a powerful phrase? We should count it a wasted day if we're not going deeper with Jesus in some way. I hope that all of you who've allowed yourself to engage into this Time Is Now campaign, that you've realized that this just hasn't been about raising capital. This isn't just about raising money. Friends, that's why we gave out these devotionals that we've all had together to do daily, to do these daily devotionals in our families, and we're all doing them together in the life of our church. Many people have told me that these devotionals have been so good for them. It's helped them to go deeper in their study and their relationship with God. And you know what? What we've done in that time and this part of the campaign is we've established getting into God's Word. We're learning from the apostles daily by being in the Word of God. And if nothing else happens out of this whole campaign, then getting us into God's Word on a regular basis, then every ounce of our time, every bit of our effort, every dollar we spent has been worth it. It's been absolutely worth it, because now is the time for devotion. Devotion to learning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, friends, we have a great chunk of the apostles' teaching right at our fingertips in a book called the Bible. And as we make commitments to this campaign, or if you've already made your commitments to this campaign, as we do that, we better be making our commitment, our devotion, to how we're going to be in God's Word together. Because that's more important than anything else that we're going to do. To know the Bible. Here's the second level of their devotion. They were devoted to community. To community. Acts 2:42 goes on to say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to, say it with me, fellowship. To fellowship. Here it talks about being devoted to the fellowship. It actually says the fellowship. Being devoted to the fellowship. It's talking about being devoted to the body of the church, the body of Christ as a whole, this wider fellowship that we call the body of believers. It's talking about being devoted to the whole community of the church. In verse 44, it explains a little more what that looks like. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Now I got to thinking about that verse and how we can live that out. And I see that we're having some garage sale days here in Old Fort coming up, right? I saw that at the market on the sign, and I heard about a couple people in the church that are going to be having some garage sale stuff going on. And I got to thinking, well, here's what we can do. Let's get all of our possessions, everything we own, all of everything we got, and we'll take it over to Vicki Hall's house. She's not even here for me to pick on, but I know she's having a garage sale, and we'll put it all in our garage sale. We'll sell everything we got, and then we'll just draw from it as each of us has a need. Sound like a good idea? We can even make it a little steeper than that. Let's all go sell our homes, and we'll all come live together in a commune together. Sound fun? We're going to have this new building over there, so we'll all come live right here. We can fill the downstairs with a bunch of bunks, and we'll make Mike's office into a killer ladies' room. It's kind of girly over there anyway. And then we'll make this a big entertainment room. What do they call those? A man cave. Wouldn't this be a killer man cave? And we'll all just live together and provide as we have. I was talking about this in the early service, and there was a lady sitting out there kind of going, no, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know if she knew I was kidding or not. That's what you're going to do with the old church? I knew you were going to do something with the old church. Friends, that's not what's going on here. But often we read that. I've read that passage, and I'm like, wow, they just kind of all sold everything and just kind of hung out together and provided for each other. That's not what's happening. Although I have heard that there's a couple people that are having garage sales. They're selling some of the stuff they have that they want to get rid of, and they're giving that money to our building. Isn't that kind of cool? Some people are doing, Vicky's somebody that's doing that, so she probably would welcome your stuff if you want to take some more things over there. A neat idea. But that's not what's happening here. You see, the word sold, as it's used here in the scripture, was a word that meant used to sell. Used to sell. Not in one great big rummage sale, but occasionally. As the need arose, they would sell things to take care of each other. Isn't that cool? How do we best make that practical in a practical sense for the church today? Maybe a way of putting it is to say the community of Christ, as a community of Christ, we need to never make our possessions above people. We need to never make our possessions above the church. We need to never make our possessions above God. And as we see a need that's happening, maybe we can even sell something we have so that we can help meet somebody else's need. Because that's so much more important than what we acquire. Maybe that's a practical way that we can look at what they're doing. Devotion to the community of church means sacrificing what we have to meet the needs of the fellowship that we know of as the church. But let's take it even a little bit further than our possessions. Devotion to community, giving to others as we have need, it also is shown in the way that we provide service, the way we serve in the church. Now, Willie talked some about that last week. And I want you to know that our goal at Old Fort Church is not just to find warm bodies to fill vacant spots, to fill vacant positions. All of us have probably done that before, but that's not what our goal is. What our goal is to help people find their fit in ministry, to find the right place where they're going to really blossom and grow as they serve, that helps them to serve with their spiritual gifts, their heart, their abilities, their personality, and their experience, how God shaped them to be involved in ministry, and it helps them to really be nurtured and grow in that. I heard about a church one time where a pastor stood up in front and he said, "We need someone to teach the junior high Sunday school class, and we're not leaving here today until someone volunteers." Well, Joe was sitting out there in the crowd, and he's thinking to himself, "Well, I don't really like junior high kids. I'm not really gifted with teaching, but golly, I'm hungry." So he raised his hand. And a year later, the pastor's back in the same place saying, "We need someone to teach the junior high class." Look, sometimes we all have to fill the need because it's necessary. We've probably all done that in the church in some way or another, and that happens from time to time. But our goal is that people are connected to serve in places that meet their shape of who they are, so that they're loving it when they're doing it, and they're blossoming and growing in it as they do it. Sometime this fall, I'm going to be offering a class that's designed not just for this. It's designed to make us deeper and a discipleship kind of class in our relationship with Christ. But in part of that time, what we'll do is we'll look at Scripture and we'll do some exercises to help us to understand what our shape, what our makeup, what our fit for ministry is, and then to help plug into those areas that really fit who God has made us to be. That class will just be another tool to help connect us to be a fruitful place of our devotion to God and to this community that we're a part of, giving to others as they have need in our service. You can watch for more information about that class this fall. Here's the third level of devotion the beginning church showed. It's devotion to worship. Verse 42 goes on, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Now further down in verse 46, into verse 47, it also says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people." Friends, what are they talking about here? What's going on here? We're talking about a church that's devoted to worship together through communing together. Not just taking communion, but a rich communing of our relationships with one another as we praise God together. All the people of God coming together in the favor of God, the favor of God's people praising Him. You see, all too often, churches limit their worship to God to the hour or the hour and 15 or hour and a half, whatever the length of the service is, Sunday morning worship. But the beginning church's devotion to worship was showed up in rich daily communion with one another, in and out of the temple courts, in and out of the church, in homes, and in other places where they gathered to worship together and break bread. When's the last time that you drew together with some others from the church community just to break bread and to praise God? Well, you got together with some others, maybe some friends, maybe people you don't know well that you invite together just to break bread together and to worship God. We're not talking about a committee meeting. We're not talking about a fundraiser or an event planning. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if our groups, if our teams, if the people in different places in our church would sometimes just meet and don't do no business at all, but simply break bread together and spend time praising God? What if our lead team, our lead team is like the administrative leading team of our church. What if they came together for one of their monthly meetings? They said, you know what? We're pretty sure the church isn't going to fall down in the next month. We're pretty sure that things are going okay for the pastor and the family at the parsonage. So, you know, no business tonight. We're just going to spend time breaking bread together and talking about how awesome God is. What if we did that? Or what if the children or the youth team, the adults that work with them, come together for their regular meeting and they say, you know what? No planning today. We're going to trust that the wheels aren't going to fall off of the ministry next month, and we're just going to spend some time getting into each other's lives, breaking bread together, and praising God and worshiping Him for who He is. Worshiping the God who cares far more about our children and our youth than we could ever attempt to care. What if our worship band, whose whole purpose is worship, came together for one of their Saturday morning rehearsals, but instead of rehearsing songs for next week, they said, you know what? We'll just use this past week's playlist. And this week, we're just going to get into each other's lives. We're going to share about what God's been doing with us, and then we'll just play from our hearts. We'll spend an hour just playing and worshiping God, and if something great comes out of that, maybe we'll share that with the rest of the church tomorrow morning. What if our small group studies that meet came together one night and they said, you know what, tonight study's important, but we're not going to study. We're going to do the same kind of thing that I've been talking about. Do you know what would happen to our groups and to our teams? Do you know what would happen in those places? I'll tell you what would happen. The focus of their work together would change because they've been devoted to worshiping God together. Now, I'm not sharing these ideas to be a put down to any of the groups or the teams or the worship band. We all know they're doing great stuff. And we understand they have a service to fulfill, and we're so thankful for what they do. But I'm just trying to help us think outside of the box. Practical ways that we can daily show this worship and the community together, to step outside of the regular routine that we often become way too accustomed to, just to increase our devotion and worship. I think it would change our lives. I think it would change our church. Here's the fourth level of devotion we see in the beginning church. It was a devotion to prayer. Verse 42 concludes with the fourth level of devotion. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer. How many of you have been praying for our church during this Time Is Now campaign? Raise your hand if you've been praying for our church. Look around. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome to know that many people have been praying for our church through this? Friends, the beginning church was keenly aware of the need for prayer. They had just come off of a 3-year adventure with the Son of God. and the Son of God, Jesus, had set the pace for them in prayer. He got up early in the morning and prayed. He got away from them. He would leave them to go pray. He invited them to come pray with him. He gave them the model of prayer that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. And when the scripture says they devoted themselves to prayer, it's my suspicion that it was prayer on a level that very few of us, if any, have ever experienced. And in one of the churches where I served, we had a really strong focus on prayer, the staff and the church and the leaders. And one time we had the privilege to bring on this retired pastor to serve with us, to serve in giving pastoral care. And as he began to engage in the prayer focuses that we had as a church, he said something that the gist of it I'll never forget. This wonderful man who had served God in ministry for 40 years in one successful church after another said something to a bunch of us young folk. He said, "I have never prayed in ministry like you do in this church." He said, "I'm learning something that my ministry has greatly missed." This is a man who had served as a pastor for 40 years and really had never learned how to pray. Friends, my hope is that at Old Fort Church, we always become a church where the staff, the leaders, the people of Old Fort Church, you can say that they've taught me that prayer is something that I simply can't live without. Too often, prayer has become a lost art in churches. You would be surprised of people who call themselves a church of God who spend so little time in prayer. All across this great nation, you have churches like that. Often, prayer is talked about. It's asked for. The intentions may be good, but the devotion to the prayer, as we read it in this beginning church, just as rarely felt. It's not there. Prayer chains all too often become rumor chains where people can just join in to know what's going on. They just want to know what's happening, and they never give any real heartfelt prayer. I served in a church once where the senior pastor, the lead pastor, got a prayer request from someone in the church, the man who got his foot stepped on by a horse. And he decided to send that out to the prayer chain. That was when they were doing phone calls from one to the next person. So he gave it to the top of the prayer chain, who called the next person, who called the next person, the next person, till it worked its way back to the pastor. And by the time it got back to him, the prayer request was for a man who was dying with a brain tumor. How does that happen? How do you go from a horse stepping on a foot to a man dying with a brain tumor? I mean, I understand that when you're doing a phone call to phone call, you're going to maybe miss a little bit in translation. But holy cow! A foot to a brain is a really big difference. And, you know, that kind of thing only happens when people are just way too anxious for something that's juicier to share. It's called rumoring, and it's a sin. The beginning church was devoted to prayer, to real prayer, praying for one another. And if you've picked up the habit of praying for our church in the midst of this campaign, please don't stop simply because we come to the end of a campaign. Keep doing it. Make it a regular part of your prayers, praying that we always are in step with God's Spirit for us as a church. Make it a daily devotion for you to pray. Friends, when we survey the devotion of the beginning church, we'd be remiss if we didn't look at the results that their devotion yielded. The scripture passage that we looked at points out two of the results that are yielded from this. First, it points out wonders and miraculous signs. Verse 43 says, "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles." Have you ever felt in awe of God? Most of us have at one time or another, either in a personal experience, or maybe we felt in awe of something that God's done in the life of this church. Many of us kind of use those awe experiences of God like benchmarks in our faith journey that tell us that God really is real. And even when I'm struggling, I remember that experience, and it's what gets me through. I've heard people who've used the walk to Emmaus like that. They've had such an awe experience, and they go back to that as a benchmark in their faith journey because they experienced God in such a special way. Well, friends, listen to this. The beginning church didn't just have one or two benchmarks to go back to as an awe experience. They had wonders and miraculous signs happening daily. Daily. And listen, that's not just something for the beginning church. That's what God's desire is for the church today. That's what God's desire is for Old Fort Church today. That on a daily basis, we see wonders and miraculous signs. But do you know what's required of a church in order to experience those kind of results, for those results to be yielded? What's required is real devotion. Our real devotion. And that's what's required for us to see the miracle of a new building sitting across the street as well. Our real devotion. Friends, God just prodded Caroline and me again this week and basically said to our hearts, your devotion isn't enough yet. I was struggling with that one. I know Caroline was struggling with it too. I wanted it to be what we had committed to, but in my heart, I think I knew all along, and I know she did, that our devotion hadn't yet been enough. And we discussed it, and after we talked about it, I sent an email to Luke asking him to double our upfront giving. Because we had not yet come to the point that we were really sacrificing yet. What we had committed to really wasn't going to impact our lives that much. And what kept coming back to me is if I'm the leader of the church, I have to model this. I have to feel the sacrifice more than I am. And we both agreed, and actually God gave her that number from the beginning, so you should always listen to your wife. But we agreed that we would double that upfront giving. And since we've done that, we both just have this peace. I didn't have that peace before with my other commitment, with our other commitment. And now I just got a peace I'm not worried about. I know it's going to tighten some other things up. It's all right. God's got it covered. Because we have a peace now in what we're doing. Here's the second thing that their devotion yielded. The beginning church, there was a daily increase. A daily increase. The last sentence in this passage in verse 47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, the beginning church experienced a daily increase of people coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? When's the last time that you know of one person who came to a relationship with Jesus? Even one person. The beginning church experienced this on a daily basis. And if you continue to read into Acts, you'll see where thousands of people come to Christ at a time. A daily basis, the church is increasing in number as people come to know Jesus. When the church is devoted, the results are yielded. And let me tell you, if the pennies that you and I scrape together for this thing leads one single soul to come to Jesus, then every dollar we spend is worth it. And if there's a single person in this region who doesn't yet know Jesus, then we have to do what we have to do to reach them and to have a place for them when they get here. That's what it's all about. That's what the church is about. Friends, this morning is our second of two commitment Sundays. Many of you have already made your commitments. Your cards have been turned in. And maybe God's still knocking on your heart a little bit and saying, you're not done yet. If you don't have a peace yet with what you've given, then maybe you're not done. Maybe you're there. Maybe God's given you that peace and you know you've committed exactly what you've needed to. Maybe you're not as stubborn as I am. If he's still working on you, you're not done, please respond to him. Some of you are yet to turn your cards in, and you're going to do that today. And the basket's here. As you come forward for communion, you can place those in the basket. If you haven't prepared for that today and you still need to do that, or God's leading you in some way, just talk to Luke this morning, or grab him or call him or email him this week and let him know what you're thinking, and he'll make sure that it's taken care of. But let's go to God in prayer. God, part of what this campaign process has revealed to me is my own stubbornness. I am a stubborn person. That's not new information for my wife, but it's not really new information for me either. But God, I ask you to remove the stubborn spirit in us where it lies as a church. I ask that we take devotion seriously, that we realize that now is the time to be devoted to you in prayer, in your word, in worship together, in this community that we call the church, that your greatest desire is that numbers are being added to us daily of those who are being saved, those who get to step into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that hears that and they're thinking, guys, I'm not sure I've stepped into that yet. You can do it today. We invite you. God invites you to say, just, Jesus, forgive my sins and come into my heart. Become one of his today. God, stir in us your devotion that you've modeled for us. That we have your eyes, and when we have your eyes, we see a world that desperately needs you. And we won't quit. We'll keep persevering. We'll stay devoted until we reach the finish line. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Of course, I'm not telling you what you don't know, but Jesus showed us the prime example of devotion. God showed us the prime example when he said, I want every person to come across the finish line. I want everybody to know me, to be forgiven of their sins so much that I'll give my son so that his body can be broken for them. I'll give my son so that his blood can be shed for them. And that every time they take a piece of that bread and they take a drink from the cup, every time they do that, they remember the devotion that I have for each of them and that I ask for in return. I invite you forward today to receive the bread and the cup, to take a piece of the bread and dip it into the cup and receive it. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. If you're seeking to follow Jesus, you're invited to come and join us. I invite those who are serving to come forward now. They'll be at stations on each side. I invite you to come and receive. Friends, I feel like I'm supposed to say something to you. I don't really want to. But as we were having communion, I was thinking about the exchange of conversation that Caroline and I had as we were talking about giving more. And I told her, I said, you know, my flesh side's just struggling. I said, I know, don't tell me that you don't have faith. I know that part's got to be there, but I'm struggling because part of me thinks, what if we give the money and it doesn't happen? And the reason I feel like I'm supposed to tell you that is there might be some of you that are there this morning because you've gone down the road of going through this a couple times and it not happening. And what my wise wife said to me, which I like a duh, was I don't feel like it's a matter of whether we build it or not. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of obedience. I'm like, all right, that's what we need to do. So friends, God's working in us, and I love it. I'm just excited for where he's going to take us as he continues to work on our hearts, the more and the more that we open them to him. And the more that we give him our devotion. Let's go devoted. We're going to have a great celebration next week. Tom, the pressure's on for the best barbecue you've ever made. I've heard about it. I'm ready for it. We're going to have some great food and celebrate next week. Bring some family and friends. It's going to be a great time. Let's go in Jesus' name.